Welcome to King's Health Partners Haematology Primary Care Podcast Series, or KHP Heme Pearls for short. I'm Rory Donnelly, lead pharmacist at the Bush Doctors GP Surgery in West London and a teaching fellow here at King's College London. Today's podcast will be focusing on frequently asked questions on DOACs and the common queries primary care colleagues have around this topic. I'm delighted today to be joined by Rosalind Byrne, who's a principal pharmacist in anticoagulation at King's College Hospital. So thank you for joining me today, Ros, and I'll go straight in with our first question. So the UK population's weight is increasing, with recent estimates that a quarter of adults in England are obese and a growing portion of patients at extremes of body weight with BMIs above 40. So with this in mind, is it safe to use DOACs in these patients at these weights? And is there any additional monitoring requirements needed?
Okay, so yes, I think we've become a lot more confident using DOACs in patients, certainly over 120 kilos in recent years. I think when the DOACs were first licensed, because we got so used to using weight-adjusted low molecular weight heparin and obviously titrating warfarin to INR, and also because there actually weren't that many, very few patients in the phase three studies who were at those extremes of body weight, that people were sort of naturally and understandably cautious about prescribing DOACs in patients with high body weight. But we have, as I said, in recent years become a lot more confident about this, especially in patients over 120 kilos and certainly up to 150 kilos. And actually since the ISTH guidance in 2021 changed, they now say that we can use rivaroxaban and apixaban for the treatment of VTE, regardless of body weight, and actually not without any drug level monitoring, which makes things a lot easier. So definitely since then we've become more confident, and we've actually been pretty happy to extrapolate that to the AF population. So things have changed over the years in that respect quite a lot.
No, I was just going to say, so from a primary care perspective where I work, it sounds like it's safe to use it at patients then at extremes, at these extremes of body weight, so above 120 kilos plus?
Yeah, I would say certainly up to 150 kilos. There's probably most data for rivaroxaban in this patient group. Okay. So we'd be happiest to use rivaroxaban. There is also data for apixaban. We usually tend to avoid edoxaban and dabigatran just because there's less evidence in this group. Patients over 150 kilos is a bit more of an individualized approach. We have done levels in these patients and actually found adequate exposure. So we're again, pretty confident even in these patients that even higher body weights. But we're a bit more cautious in patients that are high risk patients, I guess. So low risk, low CHAS-VASc, distal DVT kind of patients, we probably feel a bit better about using them. A patient with a very high stroke risk or a patient with a significant thrombus burden, massive PE, we might think a bit more carefully about whether we're happy or confident to use a DOAC up front. So in those patients, we might use low molecular weight heparin, at least in the acute phase and the most high risk phase in, say, the first month. We might then want to use low molecular weight heparin, possibly then use warfarin or switch to a DOAC when we're out of that acute high-risk phase. But I think over time, and we'll get much more confident in using DOACs in even the more extremes of body weight.
And I guess for those riskier patients, as you mentioned, who are, you know, above 150 kilos, you'd expect them to be under haematology until they're stable and be a clear plan in place for them to be continued after, wouldn't you?
Yes, especially, certainly for VTE.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also wonder, what about patients at the at lower weights? So patients at the other extreme of the spectrum.
Yeah, so these patients really, are, I guess you're looking at a group of under 50 kilos. There is less evidence for in this patient group. Again, there were small sample sizes in the phase three trials, and ISTH don't have any specific guidance for this. Edoxaban has a dose reduction for weight, I guess, so we do utilize that. So you dose reduce at less than 60 kilos. We have done a bit of work looking at this, but it's pretty small sample size and doesn't include clinical outcomes. But looking at exposure, it seemed to, you know, be okay. I think in practice, what we do is if we're in doubt or worried about a patient being particularly low body weight or frail, then we will check levels to check that they're not overexposed to the anticoagulant. That's the general way we do it. Yeah.
And I mean, obviously, access to these levels would be through secondary care, wouldn't they? So you'd expect them to be done or managed. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. Great. So the next question would be, there's been an increase in edoxaban use over the last few years, especially in primary care. However, there's been some worry about its use in patients with high creatinine clearance. So the question is that safe to use? Is it safe to use a Doxban in these patients? And what is the data around this really?
Yeah, so this has been a little bit controversial, if you can get something being controversial in the world of DOACs, but it's come about because there was in the Engage AF study, there was a trend towards decreasing efficacy with increasing creatinine clearance in the edoxaban arm compared to the warfarin arm. And that resulted in the SMPC for edoxaban. There's a statement saying edoxaban should be used with caution in patients with high clearance for AF specifically. And after careful evaluation of the individual thromboembolic and bleeding risk. So this has become a bit of a sticking point. Interestingly, though, as a result of these findings, they did do analysis with rivaroxaban and apixaban and dabigatran and found a similar signal for apixaban and rivaroxaban, but not for dabigatran. Recently, European Heart Rhythm Association have changed their guidance to allow the prescribing of edoxaban in high clearance. And remove that caveat. But I would say, again, in practice, we have yet to move away from using other DOACs, really, when patients are high clearers. So we use 95 mils per minute as a cutoff. It's really because the SMPC still says use with caution. And actually, the FDA in America, they only approved edoxaban for use in creatinine clearance less than 95 mils per minute. And then in the recent NHS England commissioning guidance, they've used 95 mils per minute as a cutoff. So in practice, we are still preferentially using other DOACs, apixaban and rivaroxaban, because we can, or dabigatran because we can, because they are available. But hopefully that will change in the future, because we're trying to use edoxaban as sort of national first line at the moment. It would be nice to feel confident to prescribe edoxaban in that patient group.
So I guess from a practical implication, so in primary care, renal function is usually calculated through GFR, so through a CKD PI, and often it'll just say greater than 90 mils per minute. So I'm guessing for those patients, we'd have to then go and check their renal function. Would it be using Cockcroft and Gault then to check what the renal function is? And if it's above 95 mils per minute, then avoid and use a different DOAC than a doxaban at the moment.
Yes, at the moment, that's right. I mean, when you're looking at all DOAC dosing, really, you need to use Cockcroft and Gault to work out creatinine clearance that way. But yes, certainly, if you found it to be over 95 mils per minute, then we would be recommending using a different DOAC. I know that this isn't the same across the country. And in some areas, they take the view that actually this isn't of critical clinical relevance. And therefore, they do allow the prescribing of edoxaban at high clearance. But at the moment, we haven't done that. We haven't moved to that.
Okay. So just a take-home message is make sure everyone who's on a DOAC has their creatinine clearance measured with Cockcroft and Gault. And if it's above 95 mils per minute at the moment, avoid edoxaban and use an alternative DOAC.
Yes.
But that could change.
Different local guidelines might say otherwise.
So yes. Check your local guidance. Yeah. Good. Fantastic. And the third question is, when would you dose reduce in renal impairment in VT patients taking DOACs? So the literature, I say, is more specific around non-valvular AF, but perhaps a little vaguer on VTE. So in practice, what do we consider for dose reducing, and what is safe?
Yeah, it is a bit confusing. And we often see incorrect dosing in VTE, where patients are dose reduced when actually they shouldn't be. Actually, for edoxaban, there is clear dose reduction guidance. To 30 milligrams, the same as for AF for edoxaban. So if your creatinine clearance is less than 50 or weight less than 60, then you can reduce to 30 milligrams, which is quite useful. But obviously, the problem with edoxaban is that you have to use low molecular weight heparin for 5 days up front. So it becomes not a particularly attractive option, certainly for treating acute VT for outpatients. We do use this for patients in hospital, because quite often they've had some low molecular weight heparin already, so we might just need to give a couple more days, and then we can go straight on to a maintenance dose of edoxaban rather than fiddling around with loading doses. But when we generally use rivaroxaban or apixaban, and we don't dose reduce as long as the creatinine clearance is over 30 mils per minute, so sort of moderate renal impairment. Obviously, if a patient has a really high bleeding risk for whatever reason, we would take that into account. But certainly when you're treating, you know, you take into account the bleeding risk and the size of the thrombus again, you don't want to underdose someone in the acute phase of VTE. Less than 30 mils per minute, we'd ideally not use rivaroxaban because you have to give a 3-week loading dose at a high dose of 15 milligrams twice a day. So we tend to avoid that. Options we use are either apixaban because it only has a 1-week loading dose, so you've got less time at a high dose. Or we might use low molecular weight heparin, which we can adjust for renal impairment and adjust for weight. And then we might go on to edoxaban or we might go to apixaban. We wouldn't want anyone dose reducing to apixaban 2.5 milligrams BD in the acute phase of VTE. And if patients have a creatinine clearance less than 15, we tend to use warfarin. So yeah, general rules are down to 30 mils per minute, probably okay to carry on as normal. Less than 30 mils per minute would be a little bit more cautious.
Fantastic. So that's it really in terms of questions. I just want to say thank you so much for listening. And thank you to Roz for the fantastic answers today. We hope you've learned something along the way with us. And please do spread the word with your colleagues by sharing the podcast. We'd really appreciate it if you could also complete the poll to let us know what you thought of this podcast, if you have any unanswered questions on this topic. And let us know if there are any topics you'd like us to focus on our future episodes. We're looking forward to developing this Haematology Primary Care podcast series with your input. So please do let us know if you'd like to be involved in future episodes. Thank you very much.